everyone. Welcome back to Relax with Animal Facts. I am Steph Wolf, and today I'm going to be learning with you about our furry, scaly, or possibly even slimy friends. And in today's case, I am not actually sure where to put this creature because we are covering the oh-so-wonderful ladybug. This, of course, is a very special listener episode dedicated to Tiffany, who wrote into the show. I hope you enjoy your episode, and hats off to you for such an awesome suggestion. I am pretty sure Tiffany requested this some time ago, but if you want to request an animal for a future episode, you can go to relaxwithanimalfacts.com, go to the Submit and then the Animal Request tab, and that way we can learn together about what creatures you find the most cool. If you love Relax with Animal Facts and would like more of it, you can go to patreon.com/relaxwithanimalfacts. You can get intro-free episodes, exclusive episodes, and more. A huge shout out to George Vlad for the ambiance used in this episode. I have left his YouTube and his website in the description, and I encourage you all to go check him out. And now let us begin to wind down a little bit. If you are new here, welcome. I am so happy that you have taken the time to join me on this adventure. And as far as the podcast family is concerned, the more the merrier. If you are a returning listener, you know exactly what I am going to be asking of you. I have three primary exhortations for you before we hop right into this episode. The first thing I encourage you to do is to put on a pair of shoes you don't mind getting a little wet. We are certainly going to be needing those for where we are going today. My second exhortation is perhaps the most important. It can be quite challenging for us to relax when our bodies are stiff as a board. And so notice perhaps where you are carrying some tension. Is it in the head, the neck, the arms, the legs? Wherever it is for you, do your best to simply let go. You can imagine some jello and do your best to do your Oscar award-winning impression of it. Really become the jello. And the last thing I encourage you to do is to give your mind permission to wander and journey with me into a forest in Costa Rica where the ladybug resides. One thing I always harp on our adventures together is the musical quality of nature. We have gone to so many places around the world, to the mountains, to the seas, to places colder than Canada, if you can believe that, in rainforest and in desert, and everywhere we go, every place has its own unique sound. The animals, the rustling trees and leaves and wind, they all come together to make a unique symphony. And today, in this forest in Costa Rica, we get to hear a wonderful one. But here in this natural orchestra, we are not looking for sounds, we are looking for a creature, and that is the ladybug. The ladybug is like the symbol of springtime. I'm sure that many of you out there have seen them before and are familiar with them, seeing as that they are nearly global in their distribution. It would be more correct to call them lady beetles, because that's what they are. We will get into their name as to why they are called such at the end of the episode, but just know that the term ladybug is not exactly as accurate or precise as we would like. But the colloquial term and the slang term ladybug really is a great one. Like many other insects in the world, they have many individual species, and there are about 5,000 species of ladybug in the world. Now, as a Canadian back home away from this Costa Rican forest, I'm most used to that red insect with its spattered black spots. But here, we might find one that is quite different. Ladybugs come in a variety of different colors. Some actually do not have any spots at all. But all of these creatures within these 5,000 species are going to be small, hard-shelled creatures that are harmless to us and can serve quite a role in a garden. These creatures love warm climates. That is why I qualified my statement earlier, that statement talking about how they are found nearly universally around the world, with that term nearly. If we were to travel to Antarctica, we're not going to find ladybugs. We will find them in many other places in the world, particularly places like forests and gardens and weed patches. And some of you listening, maybe who are from California, might be surprised to know that there are more than 100 species in California alone. That is really cool. But though California is hoarding 100 different species, we can still look forward to over 4,900 of them. There are species that are not red, but yellow, orange, pink, brown, or even a jet black color. There are so many different ladybugs for us to look at. But for those ladybugs with color and with markings of various kinds, they're going to serve a purpose beyond just decoration. They are meant to be as little cautionary markers, saying to potential predators, "Don't eat me, I taste really bad." Now adding on to this more passive defense system, which is just merely a yield or caution sign, they will also let out a very foul smell. How they do this is quite incredible. The foul-smelling odor is actually given off by their blood, which they will seep through their legs, or more particularly, it will come out from their leg joints. And this happens at a time when ladybugs are threatened or startled. The foul smell that the ladybug gives off is an indication to the predator that this beetle might be sick. It is probably not a good idea to eat them. And as a defense mechanism, it can be very efficient, as by the sounds of it. Adult ladybugs have a smooth dome-like shape, and they are protected on the outside by a harder outer shell. Below that relatively thin outer shell is a pair of thin hind wings that are able to take them off and moving at a rate of 85 beats per second. And the ladybug can discharge their wings out from underneath that protective casing in a speed of 0.1 seconds. They can then fold them back into their bodies and reseal it with that outer shell. Imagine if we as people could build a helicopter with those kinds of capabilities. I already find these creatures very fascinating. Ladybugs are referred to oftentimes as beneficial insects, and they earn this title because they eat many other insects that can be a pester for us. That includes fruit flies, thrips, and mites. That means having a ladybug in your garden will mean less garden pests for you, more zucchini, more tomato, but there are species of this beetle which are not the most helpful. The Mexican bean beetle and the squash beetle will eat plants as well. So in addition of them taking out the predators of the plants, they take on that role themselves. As I have heard said, sometimes you die a hero, and other times you live long enough to become the villain. But just because they are small doesn't mean their diet is also very small. An adult ladybug can eat as many as 5,000 aphids in its entire life. These animals will live from between 1 to 2 years of age, making that 5,000 aphid number in their lifetime a little bit more concrete. A hungry ladybug can eat up to 50 aphids per day on average. In case the word aphid is unclear, it is a bug, a very small one that feeds on plants. Aphids reproduce rapidly and can take over many gardens, but not on the watch of the ladybug. Some ladybugs live in colder climates than others, and those ladybug species that are within those colder climates enter something known as diapause, and this is a kind of insect hibernation. Just like many other creatures that hibernate, they can last a long time, sometimes as long as 9 months, as they wait until the next spring. They will live on their fat reserves exclusively, hence why it is important that many of them eat so much. To eat, ladybugs will chew just like we do, but not exactly like we do. Instead of us chomping up and down, ladybugs chew by moving their jaws side to side. It might be more of a grinding than a chewing. It's like rubbing two plates together. It still, however, gets the job done well, so they are efficient. Female ladybugs can lay up to 1,000 tiny, gold-colored eggs in a single season. But because this is the wild, it doesn't mean all of them are going to make it to adulthood. The reason for this might be other aphids or insect predators, but it also might be the ladybug parents as well. If food, for some reason, is in very short supply, they will eat their own eggs. And they have an amazing mechanism that has to do with this. Ladybugs have the ability to lay fertile and infertile eggs. The question is, of course, why in the world would a ladybug want to lay infertile eggs? During particularly tough seasons in which there is not much food around, scientists hypothesize that the ladybug intentionally makes infertile eggs to provide a very close and ready source of food for their young offspring. So depending on the conditions, they may lay more or less infertile eggs in order to provide them a food source. In 1999, the Beatles went to space. I don't mean the band, but four ladybugs named John, Paul, Ringo, and George. The scientists also brought aphids along with them to give them a snack. This was so that they could observe how these two would interact in a zero-gravity environment. That must have been an interesting experiment. And now, as always, let us learn why this creature has the name that they do, where does it come from, or what does it mean? The term ladybug takes us to the 1690s, and according to legend, European crops during the Middle Ages were plagued by different pests, like the aphids and mites that we talked about. And in response to this pestilence, as the farmers saw it, they began to pray to Mary, who is also known as the Blessed Lady, and the farmers soon saw that all of these bugs were scattered in their fields, or more rightly saying, these beetles, and these insects saved their crops. And so the lady portion of ladybug refers to Mary. We can also see this in another language because in Germany, these insects go by the name Marienkäfer, which means Mary beetles. I believe we have covered a few animals in the past. I cannot think of them off the top of my head, but animals that were named such in response to some event. But that is pretty cool. And now let us move on to the review of the episode. This review was written by Clanging Notion, who wrote all the way from the United States of America, where they have a lot of beetles, including our beloved lady beetles or ladybugs. And Clanging writes, "It's very evident how much Steph cares about his audience, and it gives the podcast a lovely, heartwarming vibe. I also appreciate the lack of loud ads or any other jarring sounds, as I'm usually trying to get sleep while listening. Thank you." I'm so glad that you enjoy the show like you do, and I am also happy that I can successfully communicate my appreciation for all of you. I can't speak much as to whether the podcast itself is better or worse than others. The only thing I say with an absolute confidence is that you guys make up an audience better than any other audience. Long story short, you guys make being a host of this show so much fun, and you make it easy for me to be appreciative. And as to the loud ads, I have specifically declined opportunities to place ads on the show because the sponsor only wanted to put a preset soundtrack or a preset ad, meaning me not talking. I have made a commitment to this podcast years ago that I wouldn't make it worse to make a quick dollar. My goal is to give all of you the best experience possible to help you with sleep, to help you learn, and I am not interested in darting any of you awake, and so you can continue to sleep easy. If the show helps you at all with sleep, relaxing, or learning, leaving a review is one of the biggest things that you can do. It only takes a second. You don't have to write very much if you don't want to. I just realized I almost got away with not saying a dad joke, and so allow me. Why did the ladybug go out to eat so much? It wanted to find the best spots. I actually don't know if this is so much of a dad joke, but it is bad and punny enough for me. You want to find those jokes that are somewhere in this gray area between nauseating and bad? If your ears start to ring, I think you've gone a little too far, but this one was just right. If you would like to request an animal for the show, you can do so by going to relaxwithanimalfacts.com and going to the Submit and Animal Request tab. If you would like to reach out to me, Steph Wolf, for any other reason, you can do so by sending an email to relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com or by sending a message to relaxwithanimalfacts on Instagram. For more of the podcast, including more facts, more learning, more resting and sleeping, you can go to patreon.com/relaxwithanimalfacts. A huge shout out to George Vlad for the ambiance used in this episode, and I have left his YouTube and his website in the description. The facts used in this episode come from kids.nationalgeographic.com, treehugger.com, animals.sandiegozoo.org, and thelandbetween.ca. Those are also in the show notes, and so you can go check those out to your heart's content. What an amazing animal we have learned about today. Certainly the underdog, an animal that we have become just so used to. We see it all the time, and so we just think there is not much to them, but nothing could be further from the truth, which I hope we all learned together today. Thank you for joining me, and I look forward to seeing you on the next podcast episode with the next animal. Take care.